Okay, so where did we leave off? You remember? We've been talking about the gospel, the good news, and how important it is that we get the gospel, the real message of Jesus in our heart. And I wanted to, the last board meeting we had, I told Gary, you know, which I've said many times, I'm so proud of this little church family because we do so many things right and good. We're doing a lot of good in the community. I said, but the only thing that we are really missing, in my opinion, is, which most churches have a hard time with, is we struggle with the Great Commission, the Grand Commission that Jesus gave us. I want to start with that because I'm going to be talking about mission today. But man, does this journey, when I was studying for this, it became a journey. This is Jesus after he's been crucified, he's resurrected, and right before he ascends into heaven, this is what he tells his disciples. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. In other words, he controls the entire universe. It's all in Jesus' hands. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you and things that I've taught you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. That's the Great Commission. He leaves that for all believers, is that we are to become disciples. And I want to talk a little bit about mission, and I'm going to give you some opinions and thoughts, and I want you, you know, it's open for discussion of what this is, but the one thing for sure is if that we can fulfill the Great Commission, what we're doing is we're helping Jesus to change the world to make it a better place. Because if people understand who Jesus is and what he does for us, and we understand it, the world becomes a better place because it's filled with more love, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, and all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, everything we're looking for. It comes through God, but only if we're doing our part. So it's a complicated situation because it's a very complicated world we live in. Mission is different than ministry. Mission, I looked all kind of definitions of what mission is, but the mission, like the Great Commission, the mission that there's something you have to understand. Jesus was on a mission. He came from a place in heaven and came here with a very specific objective. His objective was to reconnect his creation, because he created us. If you read the first book of John, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he created all that's ever been created. He created us, and because of sin, we were separated from him. So his mission was to come here and build a bridge back between humanity, his children, his creation, and the kingdom of heaven. That was his mission. And it says that he laid his life down to complete that mission. Now, Jesus also had a ministry, but ministry is different than mission. Ministry uses all of our time, our talents, our resources. We feed the kids that Faye's been in charge of for years. We used to do Raise the Praise concerts. We do gifts for Beverly Farm. We have church services. This is a ministry. We utilize our time, our money, our talents, our resources to do what? Well, to fulfill the mission. To fulfill the mission. Well, what's the mission? The mission is to bring the lost in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are the disciples of Jesus. It is up to us to reach outside of these walls and bring the lost. How do we do that? Well, first, primarily, the Bible says we tell them about the gospel. We live the gospel to them. We may be able to do it by feeding kids if we have to never forget our mission. The reason churches die and eventually go away, and it happens all over America, we talked about that, is because they've lost what their real mission is. The real mission is not to build a church or a church building. The real mission is not to have a fancy service with a great band and music. That's not the real mission. That can all be part of the mission. That's all ministry stuff. The mission always has to be, what's our purpose? Our purpose is to bring people who are lost and hurting and who don't know Jesus. And I will tell you, there's a whole bunch of people sitting in churches all over America today who still don't understand the gospel or Jesus. I'll guarantee it, because I was one of them for years. In other words, doing this, doing church, does not save you. And that's why I say, tell people, please read your Bible. When the real gospel hits you, you will want to fulfill your mission. And that's what I'm going to talk about. When I originally started this sermon, I was saying, well, look, we could do all these things. This is how we're going to complete our mission. But that's really, it's irrelevant. I've learned so much. I think the main reason that we, let's look at it like this. Jesus gave us this mission to go out into all the world, to find the lost, to teach them the gospel, to share the gospel, and come into the fold of Jesus Christ. But society today, especially today, I think it's always been rough, but society today says, oh, listen, I don't want to get involved in people's personal space. Religion is a very personal thing. Who am I to go to anyone and put my views on someone else? I mean, we all have that, right? I mean, we have that. It's like, I don't know. I don't want to talk to this person about Jesus. I mean, what if they don't believe in Jesus? What if they're a Muslim? What if they're a Hindu? It's not right. Well, there's an issue behind all that I want to help you understand. Because I'm there. We're all there. We're all in the same boat. Is, you know, if you find a restaurant that you just love, you can't wait to tell your friends and even take them there. You got to go to this place. And if you find a movie you love, you want to share it. Hey, you want to go see the movie? You got to see this movie. It'll change you. It's amazing. We do a lot of things. We do is a mission, nothing to do with the church. But we know what mission is. When we love something, we're all about sharing it. That's even true with great friends of ours. Hey, I want you to meet this person. You'll love this person. You'll love this gal. You'll love this guy. Great guy. Let's bring him into our circle. You got to meet this person and we'll become part of our group. We'll do that. But when it comes to talking about Jesus, don't want to go there. Well, you have to understand that feeling does not come from God. That's not coming from the Holy Spirit. You have to understand that. So we have an issue. But I'm going to tell you something. The main reason that we are not all out every day working and trying to bring people to Jesus Christ in every opportunity we have, the main reason, and some of you will be shocked, but this is true. I know it's true because I lived it. The main reason is because we have ourselves not truly experienced God. Or it's been a long time. You can't give or sell something that you don't totally believe in. You can't do it. It's not your fault. You can't do it. But I'm going to tell you something. If you have a real meeting with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, because I have, it will change your life. That's why I'm up here today. If it wasn't for my true meeting and experiences that I personally have had with Jesus that changed me, I don't know where I'd be. I don't even want to think about it or where I'd be today. Because I was off, and I'm going to read to you an Old Testament story. I was off in my own world. Did I go to church? Yes. Did I play in a Christian band? Yes. Did I write Christian music? Yes. But was I messed up? Oh man, you don't even know half of it. You don't even know half of it. But it wasn't until that I began experimenting, and I talked to you about this before, with what Jesus said to do, that I began, the reality of Jesus Christ came into my life, and I said, oh, this is real. This is real. So, what I want to do this morning is, I'm going to read to you from the Old Testament. There's this great story. You know, the Bible's full of all these stories speak to us. But when you can grasp the God we worship. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Here's where we're heading to. I'm going to give you five words today. Five words that I guarantee you guarantee you, will change your life and all the people around your life. I will stand up here and give you a written guarantee, and if it doesn't happen, I'll give you all your money back. Five words that it's going to change, radically change your life and your Christian experience. And it ain't going to be easy, but there's five words. But let me start with this. I'm going to go back to 2 Chronicles. Kings Chronicles, it's all about when Israel and Judah, they started having kings. There were good kings, there were bad kings. You know, King Solomon, King David, good kings. Hezekiah, good king. But along comes, and if you read up, there's a bunch of them, and the stories will start. But this king did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And then you'd read one, well, this one did what was good in the eyes of the Lord. Well, this one I'm going to read today was a really, really, really messed up king. And I can relate to this story. These old stories, what, we're going back 3,000 years, speak to my heart today. And the reason I'm telling you this story is when we get through all this, is I'm going to show you how great God is. And it doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're facing, where you're at in life, if you listen to this story and allow Jesus to come to you, your life is going to change. I'm going to give you five words. So here we go. We are going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And we're going to talk about King Manasseh. He's actually the son of Hezekiah, who was a great king. You can read all about Hezekiah. And Hezekiah had issues too. You know why? He's human. We all have issues. But Hezekiah stuck with the Lord. He was up, he was down, but it all worked out good. Now, here comes Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. Well, there's problem number one. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord. According to the admonitions of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. In other words, he did more evil than the countries and the people that God had driven out for them to come and inhabit Jerusalem. He was worse than any of them. For he rebuilt the high places, which his father Hezekiah, his father, had torn down and broken down. In other words, there was all this pagan worship, idols and, you know, fake gods. It says He rebuilt the altars for the Baals. He made wooden images, and he worshipped all of the host of heaven, all these different gods he brought back. He also built altars in the house of the Lord for these other gods, in which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. Here is Manasseh, desecrating. It'd be like, you know, a new preacher coming in here and saying, you know what, we're tearing down the cross, we're getting rid of the windows, we're going to put up, some type of pagan, we're going to put up an incense burner and ring chimes and worship nature or whatever. He was desecrating all that the God had set up with his temple. And he says he built altars for the host of heaven and two courts, all within the court of the law. And he also called his sons, this is terrible here, Manasseh actually sacrificed his sons to Baal God in fire. He took his baby sons and sacrificed them. That's how off this guy had gone. It says he sacrificed him in the son of Hinnon. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery. He consulted mediums and spirits. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him anger. He even set a carved image, the idol which he had made with his own hands in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, I will put my name here forever, and I will not again remove my foot from Israel, from the Lamb which I have appointed to you. And here is Manasseh. He's putting in his own carved idols, his own, all of this stuff. It's terrible. And in the meantime, he's got prophets coming to him, begging him, don't do this. Listen, Manasseh, please, don't do this. You don't understand. Our God is the only God. Don't do this. It's not going to go well with you. They're begging him, prophet after prophet. And what's Manasseh doing? And listen, I'm the king. I'm in control here. What, do you see anything bad happening to me? I've got wealth. I've got all my wives. I've got my camels. I've got my kingdom. I've got gold. I'm going to worship who I want to worship. I'm going to have idols. This is my kingdom. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear what you prophets are saying. And over they're begging him, please, please do not do this. You've got to turn away from this evil. So Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children. He was so lost. He didn't even know. He had his power. He had his wealth. He had position. But he was lost. And lost people that are that lost don't even know they're lost. I know. I've been there. They don't even know how lost they are. But here's what happens. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. He spoke to him through all the prophets. And therefore the Lord brought them into captivity, the army of the king of Assyria. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, they're always against Jerusalem. They come down and listen to what happens. He took Manasseh with hooks and bound him. And in one reading, in a different version of this, it says they put a ring through his nose, a big ring, and they put chains on it and led him through the streets. And all the people with him. He was a captive. And he was fettered. It says bronze fetters and carried him off to Babylon. And now when he was in affliction, he implored the God, the Lord his God. And he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed to him. And he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem. Back into his kingdom. God, Manasseh knew that he had messed up. He's shackled, he's bound, he's a captive, he's in prison. He's got a ring through his nose. They're torturing him, they're beating him. And what's he do? It's like the prodigal son. He says, man, I have messed up. Oh, God. God, I was wrong, I've messed up. Please, hear my prayer. And it says God heard his prayer. And so God brings him back to Jerusalem. Miraculously, he's released. He can come back. And it says after this, Manasseh built a wall outside the city of David on the west side of Gihon. In other words, when the Babylonians and the Assyrians came in and they tore everything up. But here comes Manasseh. He comes back and he starts rebuilding the walls. He put military captains in all the fortified cities of Judah. He took away all the foreign gods and the idols from which he had placed. And he destroyed all the altars that he had built inside the Lord's house. And he cast them outside the city. And he also repaired the altar of the Lord. And he sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it. And commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. But now the people sacrificed to the one and only true God. And there was blessing in that. Now think about this. Here's a man that was so lost, had power, had wealth, had everything you could imagine. But he was so lost, he didn't even know he was lost. Tragedy comes upon him. He had done everything possible against God. And tragedy comes upon him. Well, what does he do? Well, let me give you the first three words that will absolutely guarantee you change your life. The reason Manasseh, like all the stories in the Bible, the reason he got so lost and so distracted, because he was proud. He had pride. And guess what? Every one of us in here today has some pride in us. Pride will ruin you. It will destroy you. It destroys your testimony. Proudness. But what does Manasseh do? He goes to God. He says, I was wrong. Those are the first three of your five words. I was wrong. What I did was wrong. I'm sorry. I was wrong. How we don't hear those words from people today. You don't hear it from the Democrats. You don't hear it from the Republicans. You don't hear it from your neighbor. We're never wrong. It's the other guy. What we hear is excuses. These three words, I was wrong, will set you free. And I know because I began experimenting with what's called forgiveness. I was wrong. Let me tell you something. As a pastor, you know, one of the great things we get to do, it's fun, usually, is we get to marry young people. And you know, I have young people come and I'll sit with them and we talk before marriage. I have never yet had a young couple come to me and say, Kent, we're getting married because we want to be as miserable as possible. We just want to live in complete misery. That's not what they say. Amazing, isn't it? However, you know the odds. What happens 2 years later is they're living in more misery than they knew. And let me tell you, one of the main reasons is neither one of them will say, I was wrong. It's pride. It's like, no, this is the way you do things. We won't surrender. We won't allow ourselves a vulnerability. Manasseh finally said, look, I messed up. Forgive me. The other two words, five words, I was wrong, please forgive me. Forgive me. You don't hear that today. It is so rare, it becomes so powerful that it's life-changing. People get into this, I'll show them. They do it with their spouse, they do it with their neighbor, they do it with their coworkers. If you begin, now remember, the point of this sermon is mission. But we cannot be in mission if we've never experienced God. And you will never experience God unless you do some of the things that Jesus taught us to do. I've got a bunch of personal stories, and most of you have heard them all, so I didn't want to go there. I want to tell you in a different way. But it was when I was willing to start saying, I was wrong, please forgive me, that the power of God came on me and gave me more peace than I never knew, ever. And let me tell you, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. It's not that hard for me anymore. Ask Bonnie. Believe it or not, once in a while, Bonnie and I, where are you? Where is Bonnie? Oh. You're right there. Believe it or not, once in a while, Bonnie and I, you know, she doesn't always agree with me. I know that's hard to believe. But what I've learned is I'm very quick to say, when I am, I was wrong. It's hard, isn't it? It's the hardest thing in the world. Why? Because we're proud. And we feel as if we say, I am wrong, that we're shrinking, we lose our power, we're nothing, we're becoming, you know, what is that? I got to be strong. It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. When someone comes to you and says, I was wrong, what happened? It's just like, are you kidding? This person said they were wrong. It's so rare. It's powerful. It's magic. I was wrong. But instead, we get involved in this. Oh, I'm not, you know, we rehearse our fights in our heads. And if they do that, and I'll say this. And then we want alignment. We call people. What do you think? Are you on my side? You know, we're trying to build an army. Because we are right. We're no different than Manasseh. These old stories speak to us. But if we can begin experiencing what I've experienced, and I'm sure other of you in here have experienced, but when you start walking with Jesus Christ, your life, and do what He says, there's power in it. There's reward. There's blessing in doing what Jesus has taught us. It's revival. And when you have that, it's like going to a restaurant that you love, a movie that you love, a new person you met. You can't wait to say, listen, I can help you. Now, I will tell you, if you begin speaking about Jesus to people, it's not that they're immediately going to say, oh, yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to follow you to church. No, it is our mission is to bring them into the family. Bring them into a family of support, love, and care. And I think we do great with that here. We really do. People need things, and people step up, and that's wonderful. And that's what I really love about this group. But we need to live it personally so that all of us in here can, when it's necessary, we have the strength and the power to say, look, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And let's move from here. And the power of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, it's life-changing. I guarantee it. I bet all of you in here right now, you probably have, I probably need to forgive that person. I need to step up and, feel God's power. God says, look, I am weak and He is strong. Jesus works through our weakness. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Another great testament in the Bible is that those who find their life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake will find it. That's what this is about. You have to lose your self-interest as a Christian to be walking in the power of God's Spirit. If it's all about finding your life, and that's what this society is today, our society has become a group of people, and we're all guilty of this, it's about personal happiness. Personal happiness. That becomes the number one thing in our pyramid. As long as I'm happy, it's going to be good. That's my goal in life. When I wake up in the morning, it's my happiness. I'm going to do this, and if anything gets in the way, then I'm not happy, and I get in the mood. But what Jesus teaches is, look, the mission, don't lose sight of the mission. What's the mission? We want to bring people to know Jesus. Why? So we can be kings? No. So we become humble, and the world becomes a better place. Because we can, through the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, go to people and say, you know what? I messed up there. I was wrong. What can I do? I want to make this up. Forgive me. Let's love one another. And especially Christian to Christian. Jesus says, you will know my disciples by their love for one another. I want to tell you something. If you have a beef with a Christian, that's not biblical. You know what the Bible says? You are to go to them and figure it out and make amends, because they are your brother or sister in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're a Methodist or if you're a PCF, if you're a Catholic. God's saying, look, we're all one family. We're a spiritual family. Don't let this Manessa spirit get in you with another Christian, because there goes your testimony and there goes your ability to focus on mission. You will never complete your mission. You will never be an effective minister if you're not experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. And those five words will change your life and move you powerfully into the direction. Why? Because you're a humble Christian. I was wrong. Forgive me. I can do better. And I'm going to tell you, our whole life, we're all going to have to go through life and be humble and ask for forgiveness regularly. I know I do. It's humanity. But that's the beauty. That's the beauty of the gospel. The next time we meet, I'm going to be reading a story that's going to... One of the things I put in my blogs is, look, when you read this book, don't fall into the trap of reading one paragraph and letting that become your whole doctrine. See what it says right here? This book, this is a complete movie. You have to understand the whole picture to understand what God really wants from us. If you start nitpicking here, there. No, you can take different stories like I am, but it always has to do with an end goal or mission. What's the mission? To bring people to Jesus Christ. Lost people to Jesus Christ. That's everything. If you start picking things out of here that says, oh, this person's going to hell, this person in it. No, I'm going to tell you, you haven't read the whole story. What you've done is you picked out little parts of the movie and you're trying to assemble your own book. If you read this whole book, it's the greatest book in the world, because I don't care who walks in that door. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they've done, what they're doing, what their lifestyle is. Doesn't matter. The bottom line is Jesus loves you and He wants you to be part of His plan. He wants you to be part of this great mission here on this earth, because there's a lot of suffering in this earth. He wants us to be part, be able to go out and focus on that mission. But the only way we can do that is if we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us and we're willing to humble ourselves and say, look, I'm not worthy to do this, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, forgive me for who I am, but trust me, I know someone that will take you and love you no matter what. And when you backslide, you know what? He still loves you. Just be willing to say, I was wrong. And He will change your life forever. Amen. Hey, how about this? How about we end? Everybody stand up. Give everybody a hug. Let them know. We'll be meeting again in 2 weeks. And Gary, do you have an announcement about a meeting coming up?